Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on advertising when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth, but today it's down to less than 38 days. And these global 2,000 mad scientists, as I call them, the philosophers, preachers, and politicians, plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years or so under the Club of Rome plan. Well, back in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing and essentially the same words, using false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, in 1920, about half of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and fiber, and then food for the rest of the world and food for you and me. But today, we Americans have chosen to live in our cities. And now only 3% of us live on the land. Now that means 97% of us are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. We depend upon somebody else to provide our food for us. And we Americans produce grain for export, and then we turn around and import our grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is now in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. These globalists with the genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And our subsistence and survival school is now available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of deception in advertising. Deception, the power of suggestion. I showed you that we can let you see something with your own eyes and deceive you and cause you to lie about what you just saw. Isn't that amazing? There's a way that we use typically to hide something. We bury it in the ground so that it's out of sight. You can't see it. That's the conventional way of hiding things. You know, you put it under something so that you can't actually see what it is that you're trying to hide. But oftentimes what we do is we hide something in plain sight. We're going to lie to you. We're going to deceive you. And we're going to use your eyes to deceive you. And the last time I pointed out that you don't have the capacity, your brain does not have the capacity to record and then repeat or recite all that it has recorded and to do that accurately. We see that oftentimes in court, in testimony. And I pointed out to you a little story about the power of suggestion. Oh my God, look at the blood. That was in the last program. Now, this time, let's take a look at packaging. Let's take a look at your eyes, and let's see if your eyes, when you go into the grocery store or when you're looking at a product, actually record what it is that you're seeing. Does your mind actually record what your eyes see? Or do your eyes see? Does your camera? You know, your eyes are like a camera. And I'm looking right now at a bottle of Korbel California Champagne. And right next to that bottle, I'm looking at a 1-quart bottle of juice. A 1-quart bottle of juice. And so I'm looking at the two bottles, and I can plainly see that the bottle of champagne is larger than the 1-quart bottle of juice. Now I look on the label, and I see on this juice it says 32 ounces. And in parenthesis it says 0.946 liters. Now, when we use liters, and it's actually 0.946 milliliters, because a liter would be 1,000 milliliters, and so they've got 0.946. It's 54 milliliters short of being a liter. And so a liter is not exactly equal to a quart. Not exactly. A liter is actually a little bit bigger than a quart. So if I had 4 liters, I would have more than a gallon, but if I have 4 quarts, I have 1 gallon. And we Americans, you know, we got this crazy system of weights and measures. The rest of you people in the world have your head screwed on straight, but I guess we don't. But we're used to it. You know, we're deceived, and we don't know which end is up, but we've been deceived for so long, we think we do. So we have a thing here called ounces. And so when I buy this bottle, when I pull this bottle off of the shelf and I bring it home, I'm going to get 4 8-ounce glasses. So up in our cabinet here, I've got these glasses. And I know that when I pull this quart out, that there's enough for 4 8-ounce glasses of juice. And there's 4 of us in our family, so I bring the 4 glasses over. And I put them on the table, and I take this quart bottle, and I know I'm going to get 4 servings out of this quart bottle. See? And I've done that for years and years and years. And whether you live in France or England or Germany or Japan or wherever you live, you know that when you go to the store, you buy a bottle, and your glasses, in whatever country you live in, match what's in those jars and bottles that you buy, and you get used to that, and, you know. Well, some years ago, they decided they were going to convert us over to metric. You know, we're going to get these people converted over. And so now they use this metric along with our ounces over here. And so we merchants over here, we're not dummies, you know. We see this and we say, wow, what an opportunity to steal from the public. What an opportunity. And so we use advertising. And advertising now, you know, when we think of advertising, we think of the classified ads in the newspaper. That's advertising. I've got an apartment to rent, and so I take an ad out in the newspaper, and I call it classified ad, and I put my ad in there, and it says, hey, I got this apartment, and the rent's $300 a month. Yes, that's true. That is advertising. That's a form of advertising. But the package is also a form of advertising. The size of the package. The label on the package. It's all a part of advertising. It's all a part of marketing and merchandising. And we, the merchants and the advertisers and the advertising companies, the salesmen, the sales people that are out here pushing and promoting these products, we use a wide range of techniques against you. And one of the best techniques that we have is to use your eyes. Seeing is believing. You're going to believe me or you're lying eyes. Now, people believe their eyes. They believe what they see. And so, of course, when we want to deceive you, we want to deceive you in such a way that you do not know that you're being deceived. Because if at any time you discover that I have lied to you and I have deceived you, I have lost a customer. So I don't care whether we're selling Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Hershey bars or Ford cars or whatever it is. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to steal your money, but I have to keep that knowledge from you. You can never know how I'm stealing from you or that I'm even stealing from you, because if you find out, you'll get mad as hell. and I'll lose you as a customer. So we also know that we have to keep this under wraps. And so we have techniques, we have methodologies that we use in the trade to keep this information from the general public. Now, once in a while, you get some screwball like me. I come along here and I'm blowing the whistle. And right now, every one of you that's in the marketing and merchandising business, you know, you are gritting your teeth saying, oh my God, is this lunatic going to spill the beans? Is he going to tell the public? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the general public. Honey. So I'm looking at my bottle of Korbel wine here, and this bottle, to my eye, is bigger than the 32-ounce, one-quart bottle of juice. And seeing is believing. So I look at the Korbel bottle, and it's the same size in diameter, but the top comes to a neck, and it's about 4 inches taller than the one-quart bottle. So my eye tells me that this is at least a quart of champagne, and probably more. So just looking at it, my eye tells me that quart bottle of champagne probably has a little bit more than a quart in it, because it's a little bit bigger bottle than the 32-ounce quart bottle of juice. Now, I take a look at the label on the bottle, because in this country we require labeling. Now, we don't require labeling for GMO foods. I covered that with you last week. And the obvious reason is my God, if you knew what was in this package, you wouldn't buy it. But I also showed you in the last program, you people all know what's in your water. Two deadly, toxic poisons, chlorine and fluoride. And you drink that water and bathe in it every day. And it kills you at an early age. It gives you arterial sclerosis. And it poisons you. It destroys your organs, and it gives you a multitude of and plethora of diseases. But they put them in, the poison they put in is cumulative, and they put it in such small quantities. And then you have a government agency called the EPA that says this is the safe level. And they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth. That is the safe level. Because you see, if you put that chlorine and fluoride into the water in a level that's unsafe, it'll kill you in less time, and then you'd get wise to the fact that, oh my God, the water's poisoned. We can't have that. I mean, you know, we're marketers, we're merchandisers. And besides that, we'd lose you as a customer. We don't want to lose you as a customer. We want you to continue to consume fluoride. We keep producing this fluoride in our manufacturing process every day, and we got to have a place to put it. And if we don't put it into your body, we got to pay some guy $3,000 a ton to dispose of this in a hazardous waste site dump. So we got to be very careful that we don't overdo it. All right. And so I look at this bottle, and it's got 750 milliliters. It does not say how many ounces are in this bottle. Now, notice that on the quart bottle, it's got ounces and milliliters. But on the bottle of champagne, they don't tell me how many ounces are in here. And what they're gambling on is that the average American who is trained in ounces does not know how much 750 milliliters is. That's what they're gambling on. All right. And so I happen to know that 1 quart measured in milliliters is 946. So the difference between 946, let's just do this, 946, and then we'll take 750 from that, is 196 milliliters. How much is 196 milliliters? That's what we want to know. So we divide that by 946. And it's 0.2. We could do it another way. I could take the 750 and divide that by 946. And I get 7.9. So here's what happens. they come along with this bottle. Now, how did they do that? The bottle is bigger than the quart bottle, at least to my eye. So I look at the bottle of this champagne bottle, and I've got it up in the air, and I'm looking at it, and it's concave. It's probably, it's got a big bubble that sticks up inside the bottle. Now, the bottle is dark. See, the bottle is dark green. So you can't see through the side of the bottle unless you hold it up to the light that there's this great big concave bubble poking up into the inside of the bottle. And that concave bubble sticking up inside the bottle represents 7.9% of the volume of the bottle. So when I measured the circumference of the bottle, they're both 3.5 inches in diameter, which is a standard size quart bottle, 3.5 inches in diameter. And so here's the bottle. Both of them are the same size and diameter. The champagne bottle is actually taller because it's got this skinny neck sticking up. It's actually a little bit taller, which to my eye tells me that it's bigger than a quart until I look at the label and it says it's got 750 milliliters, which is about 8% smaller. So here's what they're doing to me. Since we Americans are used to buying things in quarts and gallons, the Korbel people want me to believe that this is 1 quart of champagne. That's what they want me to believe. And I believe it because my lying eyes look at the bottle and it's the same size or bigger than. What I cannot see because of the color of the bottle when I pull it off of the shelf is that it has this concave bottom to it, which represents 8% of the volume contained inside the bottle, which is the champagne, which is what I want to buy. So I'm not buying a quart of champagne. I'm buying 8% less than a quart. Now let's take 8% less, or 7.9 here. Let's take 32 times 7.9, and that's 2.5 ounces. So it's 2.5 ounces less. So I've only got 29.5 ounces of champagne in a bottle that is bigger than the 32-ounce quart bottle of juice. That's advertising. That's what advertising is all about. Some wise, very smart advertising guy said, look, would you like to raise the price of your champagne by 8% and never tell the customer? Here's what we do. We give him 8% less champagne in the bottle. We make the bottle the same size as a quart, make it a little taller so that it's deceptive to the eye, so that the eye cannot perceive that this thing actually has 2.5 ounces less. So we're going to sell him 29.5 ounces at the 32-ounce price and the 32-ounce size by putting this concave in the bottom. That's a lying deception. It's advertising at its best. God bless them. I don't know who thought that up, but it's wonderful. And as a marketer, as a merchant, I look at that and I say, wow, look at how we can steal from people and they'll never figure it out. Now, I'll bet you people have been buying wine and you've looked at these concave bottoms. You know, it's not just in wine, it's in other products also. And you look at that and you go, wow, look at that. It's a quart bottle. I'm getting a quart and it's 29.5 ounces. We have a new measure here in America called the new Korbel quart. It's 29.5 ounces. So I thought I'd share that with you so that you could see how we steal from you. Isn't that just real special? Thought you'd love it. Now, in the Bible, God tells us to use just weights and measures in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. He says, now look, I despise people that run around stealing like this. Hey, listen. They're telling you the truth. There isn't any lies on this bottle. It says, well, not exactly, plainly, the 750 milliliters is buried back here on the label in fine print, so you can't see that. I mean, you can see it, you know, I've got normal eyesight and I don't have to wear my 10-power loop. I mean, I can read it. But they don't convert this to ounces. Now, Now, if they were to put on their 29 and a half ounces, then I would recognize instantly that this isn't a quart. Because, see, my mind, my education tells me this is a quart bottle. It looks like a quart. It's the size of a quart. In fact, it might be bigger than a quart because it's taller than a quart. But they're not lying to me. They told me plainly there's 750 milliliters. So it's up to me to figure out, well, how many milliliters are there in a quart? And they don't convert it for me in this bottle, the deceptive bottle. But they do in the quart bottle. They've got 32 ounces, 946 milliliters. See? So they're right up front. So sometimes they say new and improved or 10% more, giant economy size. See? So when they're giving you more, they put a great big sign across the front of it that says 10% more, 8% more in this package. Okay. But when they put in 8% less, do they put a big sign across it? New, improved Korbel Champagne, 8% less for your money. I mean, come on, kids, let's grow up and get real, huh? No, I'm not mad at the Korbel people, so if you're the Korbel company and you're sitting there cringing saying, I'm going to sue that fool, save your time, effort, and energy. I'm judgment-proof, and I don't have any deep pockets, and you're wasting your time, effort, and energy. But all of the wine companies do that. Well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them do, or a great bunch of them. Now, champagne is a high-priced product, and there's not much of it, and they don't have any problem selling it. Now, when you're selling Ripple, see, they give you a quart bottle. They have a different bottle, you know, when they're selling Ripple than when they're selling champagne. And that's because champagne sells for a little more than Ripple. All right, so there's just one way that we advertise and we lie to you with your eyes. We just hide it right in plain sight. We'd stick it right up there in front of you. Look at this, deceive you. Now I came along and spilled the beans. And I did that because just weights and balances require that. And God, you know, says, hey, listen, there isn't any reason why we couldn't put the champagne in there. People that buy champagne don't give a damn about the price. Listen, let me tell you, winos down on Skid Row aren't buying champagne. And the people that are buying champagne are doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. And hell, we've got the money. If we're going to buy a bottle of champagne and the price of it's $9 or $12 or $15, what the hell is another buck and a half for the extra 2.5 ounces? Why do you have to lie to us and deceive us over a crummy 2.5 ounces, troops? Huh? So, again, I think we could tell the truth and probably wouldn't harm our sales a great deal, and it would probably make us all feel better. But, you know, oftentimes we in the marketing business, we will lie when the truth would serve our purpose better. You know that? I'm not exactly sure why it is that we lie like this, but, you know, just telling you people the truth would probably make you happier and you'd probably buy more champagne. But, you know, we just have to, it's just part and parcel with the marketing program. We just have to lie. It's a part and parcel with sales. We wouldn't feel good if we weren't lying to you. If we weren't deceiving you people out there and fooling you, we just wouldn't feel good. I think that's really what the problem is. There's another advertising deception. I'm looking here at a box over here. It says Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. God, I love this one. Breakfast of Champions. Okay, so ham and eggs is the breakfast of losers. Oatmeal mush with raisins is the breakfast of losers because Wheaties is the breakfast of champions. Who in the hell wants to be a loser? This is psychological warfare. You see, we're not deceiving you with the size of the package. Although that's very common. We know we put a pound of Wheaties in this great big box. And then you open the box, and then you have to fish around down here. You look in the box, and it's about half full. They're not lying to you again, because on the box it says, this package is sold by weight, not volume. They told you the truth. But again, your eyes look at this great big box on the shelf. And most of you people don't read those labels anyway. Most of you. Now, there's a lot of label readers out there. God, we hate you label readers. And if there's one thing that we hate is a damn label. But, you know, it's the law, and so we have to put these labels on. But that doesn't mean that we can't use those labels to our advantage to deceive. And we do. We do. We use the labels to deceive in the same way that we would prefer not to have the label on there at all. It would be easier for us if we didn't have to put a damn label on. But then, you know, if we have to put the label on, then we will word it and we will design it in such a way that we can lie to you and deceive you anyway. All right. So here's Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. Now, this is a psychological ploy over here. And it's like I told you with the Marlboro guy or the Joe Camel guy. See, we experiment and we find techniques that really sell, slogans. And this is called a slogan. And back in the 1930s, somebody came up with this Wheaties Breakfast of Champions. And they got some guy like Babe Ruth, you know, they'll get Babe Ruth and they'll put his picture on the box. And Babe Ruth is a very popular, or was, well, I guess he still is, but, he, you know, he's a very popular baseball player. And so, you know, you walk into the store and you see boxes of cereal. And right here on the box of this cereal is Babe Ruth. Now, we all love Babe Ruth, don't we? And we know Babe Ruth is a champion. And like the Marlboro Man, we want to be identified with champions. I mean, you know, our chest is caved in, we're skinny and undernourished, we wear glasses, and we're just, you know, we're on the verge of death, but we look at this box and we, oh my God, I could be Babe Ruth if I ate this box of cereal. This is the message that we're sending you. This is the subliminal message we're sending to you. Do you want to be a champion or do you want to be a loser? Oh, I want to be a champion. Okay, this is Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. That's the message. All right. Now, some people, and you may be one like me, you look at that and you say, I'm going to buy cornflakes because these bastards are lying to me. You see? And so when I look at that, I say, I'm going to do the exact opposite. These are called iconoclasts. But the average Joe six-pack, and especially children, this is why we have Saturday morning commercials that are aimed at creating the perfect consumer. We train consumers from the time they're toddlers. So when you're letting your children watch these cartoons, what you're doing is you're training your child to be a mindless robot, a consumer for the advertising and the marketing and the merchandising businesses. You're training them to eat McDonald's, and you're training them to eat Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, and you're training them. And that's because all these companies have their little niche market. See, they've got their little slogan, they've got their little thingy over here, you know. And so the kid, you know, he goes into the store, Mommy, Mommy, buy me Dino, I want Dino. What the hell is Dino? What in the hell does Dino have to do with vitamins and minerals? What does Dino have to do with good nutrition, one way or the other, ladies? And then like as not, you know, you don't have your child trained, and so you say, no, we're going to buy Quaker oats, and the kid throws himself on the floor and throws an apoplectic fit right here in the grocery store. Oh, my God. My kid wants Dino, and so you reach over and you pull Dino down off of here instead of Quaker Oats, you know, or whatever it is. And so the kid is over here. He's eating these, you know, super sugar Dino chocolate-covered bonbons or whatever the hell they are, and rotting his teeth out, you know, along with the fluoride that's poisoning him. And then you wonder why your kid has ear infections, you know, ladies. And you wonder why you got to spend all this money down here at the pediatrician and why we've got all this bad health and stuff. Well, you know, it's what you feed him, and it's part and parcel with what we sell. Now, we, the merchants out here, we don't sell nutrition and good health. Honest to God, people, if you think that we, the merchants, are out here concerned about the health, the safety, and the welfare of the general public, you got your head up the wrong end again. You know, we're concerned about making money. That's why when we go to the Continental Can Company and we tell them we need to have them whip out 1 million bottles for us for this year's champagne crop, we say, well, what we want is a concave bottom in this can or in this bottle over here so we can cheat these people out of 2.5 ounces every time we sell a bottle. And then every time we sell about 20 of these bottles, or, you know, 15 of these bottles over here, we make an extra quart. We're actually charging you the same price and giving you 8% less. That's the equivalent of an 8% price increase. Yeah, an 8% price increase. And we do this for profit and gain. It doesn't have anything to do with your health, safety, and welfare. Although we put nutrition, you know, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. That's a damn lie. You know, Mark Twain hit the nail on the head. He said, you know, there's liars, you know, and then there's damn lies. And this is one of those damn lies. You know, it's one thing for the champagne guy over here to give me a bottle that plainly says it has 750 milliliters, and then another outfit that comes over here and sells me toxic waste and poison, and it says it's good for my teeth. You know, there's liars, and then there's damn liars. I think we ought to identify some of these damn liars, don't you? And while we're doing that, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. 8 schools in all. Biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. We are talking about advertising. There's about as many ways to advertise and lie to you as there are minds to think it up. It's almost like theft in your company. I used to be in the manufacturing business, and we probably uncovered over a period of about 6 years about 100 different ways to steal from the company. Employees steal from their boss. They steal from the company. They steal time. They steal merchandise. They steal tax. They steal nails. They, you know, if there's anything that's in there, they steal it. And there's a lot of ways to sneak it out of the factory. Well, thinking about it, the employer is a professional thief. He's mad as hell at his employees when they're stealing nickels and dimes. But the manufacturer, that's me, I'm the manufacturer, I'm out here stealing from the general public, and I'm just mad as hell about my employees stealing from me. It's a nation of thieves. You know, Americans are a nation of thieves. We steal from insurance companies. I don't think there's anybody out there that would have any compunctions at all about lying on a claim form and stealing from an insurance company. You know, it's a theft, but you know, shucks. Stealing from an insurance company is good. And you know, we would go into a Walmart store and we'll shoplift and steal from the store, and we don't have any compunctions about that. But listen, I wanted to let you know, for all of you shoplifters and thieves out there, that the Walmart company, you know, they're not pikers in stealing either. And of all the stores that I deal with or that we go into and we shop in, you know, Walmart is one of the biggest thieves that I think I've ever run across. I got to tell you the Walmart theft story. The Walmart company is an organized theft ring. Organized theft ring. My wife can go into a Walmart store and get stolen from nearly every single time she walks in the store. And because she knows she's going to be stolen from every single time she walks into the store, she's armed with it. And here's what happens, ladies. When you see my wife in the store, don't ever get behind her in the checkout line, because if you do, you're going to be there for a long, long time. Because she doesn't let Walmart steal from her. Now, Walmart steals from nearly every customer that walks out of the store. Now, you just, next time you're in a Walmart store, you just take a look and count the number, while you're standing in line, count the number of people that are checking out. And they'll have maybe 10 checkout lines working. And while you're in line, remember, you're about the third or fourth guy in line, in your line. And by the time you get up there, there's three people checked out ahead of you, and there's 10 lines open. That's 30 people have checked out of that store in the time that you're standing in that line. 30 people have been stolen from. Isn't that amazing? And you're all sitting there saying, oh, no, not Walmart. They wouldn't steal from us. Those are the friendly folks that give us low everyday prices. Always. Now, Walmart doesn't run around in a crass methodology, you know, with people, you know, distracting you and then reaching in your purse and stealing a dollar from you. They're not dumb people. They're not out here stealing out of your purses, ladies. They steal right in front of your eyeballs. I mean, they just steal it right in front of your eyeballs. And you'll reach in there and write your check and swipe your card through that box and love every minute of it. Now, I go to a lot of stores, and the first time this ever happened to me, it was actually a clerk that was doing this. It was in the Lucky supermarket store in Alameda, California. I'm just a young kid, so I'm making $128 a week. And so I cash my check at the Lucky store, and then my wife and I would do our shopping there, see? And then after we got through shopping, we'd go home, and we'd cook and have dinner and go take a movie on Friday night or something like that, you know. And we're just, you know, just young kids, you know, and we didn't have any children yet, and we're just having a great time. I'm in the checkout line, and my wife, you know, she does the shopping, and she, and the bill in those days, you know, it was $19.78. And so this guy says, you know, it's $19.78, and then he would hand you the dollar and 22 cents in change, and he would say he would hand you the change, and he would say 19.20. See, and you take the coins in your hand and the dollar bill, and then while they're bagging it up, you know. I happened to, I gave her the $20 bill. Young woman gave her the $20 bill. And I just took the money and I walked over to the side and I'm standing there and I look down there and I don't have 22 cents, I got 12 cents. See, the correct change was $1.22, but she gave me back $1.12. So I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, this girl made a mistake. And she shorted me when she reached in. She was going to get 2 dimes and 2 pennies, but she didn't. She got 1 dime and 2 pennies, and it's not her fault, and she just made a mistake, and why make a big scene over it? It's just a crummy dime. And so I put the money in my pocket. I walked out of the store, never thought much more about it, you know. Then the next week, we happened, just chance. Got in the same line, and I remembered it was the same girl from last week. You know, it's Friday night. I get paid every week, cashed my check, I'm standing in the line, And we check out, and the bill is, I don't know what it is, $18.20 or something like that. And so I gave her a $20 bill, and she says, okay, that's $18.20. And she hands me a bunch of change, and she says, 19. And then gives me $1.20. I take the coins in one hand and the bill, and I walk over to the side, and my wife is checking out, and I look at my change, and I counted it. And it should have been $1.80, but it isn't $1.80, it's $1.70. See? $1.70. And I looked at that and I said, Jesus, that's 2 weeks in a row from the same girl. That's not an accident. You know, half the time she should be given $1.90, you know, she should be given more change than is due or less change, but at the end of the day, you know, it ought to tally. Now, I used to work in a convenience store for a year, and so I know how this change, and I know how the cash register balances out at the end of the day, so I'm not the expert, but I'm not totally ignorant either, and so I could see right away this girl here is nicking me for a dime. So the third week I come back and I said, hey, Pat, let's get in this line over here. I wanted to go through, and sure enough, the third week in a row, that girl dinged me for a dime. That's three times in a row. Now, this girl is dinging everybody for a dime, but it's only a dime. You know what I mean? And most people don't count their change anyway. Now, in the old days, when I was a kid, you know, they used to be very meticulous about this. They'd say, well, that's $19.20, and then they would count the change out to you. 20 cents, 25, give you a quarter, 50, and then a 50-cent piece, $20. They would count out the change. Now they're a little craftier than that. See, they just hand you the change in a little pile over there, and they say 18, and they give you $2, 19, 20, and then you walk out, and you don't count your change. People today, they're not counting nickels and dimes. That girl, if she does that 50 times a day, 50 times a shift, she's making $5 a shift. That's $25 a week. That's $100 a month. And nobody's going to catch her, because once in a while somebody will say, oh, that's the wrong change. And then she looks at it and counts and says, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Reaches in and gives you a dime. Now, at the end of the shift, she keeps track of the number of people that she dings for a dime. Reaches in the cash register, pulls out a $5 bill in the cash register, tallies. That's the way that works. Now, that kind of thing goes on all the time. So you need to count your change. But that's not the store stealing from you. See, that's the clerk. That's the checkout girl. She's stealing from you, and she's putting that money in her pocket for her Christmas account. See, these people are religious people, and they need the money for Christmas because they go to church every week. So they steal. These are Christians who go to church every Sunday, and they're stealing 10 cents from you, so they'll have money to spend on Christmas so that they can honor Jesus, you know? I always laugh, you know, when I see, you know, you got to watch out for these Christians over here because they'll ding you. In fact, if you think about it, when was the last time you got dinged? Was this guy a Christian? Well, of course he was. 95% of Americans are Christians. That's what they tell you. Here's the way Walmart does it. See, Walmart's got a computer back there. And you're walking down the aisle, and you see this product that's on the shelf over here, and it says 2-for-1 sale, or half price sale, or closeout sale, you know. And so my wife, you know, she's one of those closeout sale kind of people. You know, when she sees this thing is on sale, it just draws her in, you know, like heroin to a drug addict. You know, she just sucks her right over there. And she looks at this and she says, okay, this thing was priced at $2. But now it's priced for $1.50, or it's priced for $1, or whatever it is. And the other day we happened to be in there, and they had this kind of a plum, and it said 98 cents a pound. And so she said, well, that looks pretty good. And so she bought, I don't know, 2 or 3 pounds or 5 pounds or whatever it was of these plums, because I like plums, and she bought them for me. And so she's got these plums, and she goes over to the checkout. Now remember, my wife knows that Walmart steals. And they steal by computer. And so when the ticket came out, these plums aren't 98 cents a pound. They're $1.98 a pound. And so, you know, there's people behind you, and there's this hurry, hurry, hurry. And my wife is in the checkout counter, and she's looking at her bill, and she looks at the plums, and the girl is finishing the checkout, and she gets down to the, this is why I told you, don't ever get in line behind my wife. I mean, you're going to be tearing your hair out. She goes down the bill, she finds the plums, and she sees the plums are $1.98. She says to the girl, you charged me the wrong price on the plums. They're 98 cents a pound. So the girl now, the checkout girl, she looks it up, and she says, oh, no, ma'am, here it is right here, $1.98. And she showed my wife the $1.98. Now, my wife, remember, she saw the sign over here on the counter that says 98 cents. And she says, oh, no, it isn't. It's 98 cents. Now, send somebody over and check it out. So now here's the line jammed up. And somebody, she has to call her supervisor, who comes over and says, what's the problem? The supervisor rolls her eyes and says, oh, another ding-a-ling. And then sends somebody over, and they come back, and, well, yes, it is 98 cents. To which the supervisor profusely apologizes to my wife and blames it on the computer. It's not us, it's the computer, and we're terribly sorry. It made a mistake, and please forgive us. Well, I mean, you know, it's like the girl dinging you for a dime. What the hell are you going to do? We made a mistake and we're sorry. That's when you catch them. How many people are buying those plums at 98 cents or buying those plums because they're priced at 98 cents, but they're really getting dinged $1 a pound for every pound that goes out of there? How many products in the Walmart store are there? It's thousands. Thousands. And they're not dinging you on every one of those thousands of products. They're dinging you most likely on the products that are on special or on sale. So you got a sign over here and it says, well, it's half price sale or whatever. And then you buy it because it's half price. Now, when you go out, you don't check that. I mean, my wife is the only one that does that that I've ever seen. See, because when they're checking out, see, I'm like an old bull, and I go over and I'm chewing my cud and I'm watching. I'm watching this. I'm taking notes. I don't see anybody else checking their bills. They just take the tag, you know, the long strip that comes out of the cash register, and they just take Walmart's word for it. I'm telling you, Walmart is dinging every customer that walks out of the store. Every single one of them is getting dinged for one or two items that they're buying, and they're getting dinged a dime or a dollar or 50 cents or something like that. Now, how many people go through a Walmart store every day? Now, that purchase on my plums over there was a couple, $3. Let's just say that Walmart is stealing a dime from every customer that goes through there. Well, in the amount of time that it takes me to get through the Walmart store, see, we go into the super center in Springfield. And these people are going through here. I mean, they're going through, and there's lots of them. But, you know, if you just take a dime, every time 10 customers go through there, you're taking a dollar. Does 1,000 customers a day go through a Walmart store? 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 customers? I don't know. I don't know. I never counted the customers. I'm just smart enough to know that if 1,000 customers go through the store times 10 cents, they're stealing $100 a day from the customers. Now, they blame it on the computer, but children, you know, all of those errors aren't the computer. In fact, that computer is supposed to be more accurate than non-computer, isn't it? You can rest assured that Walmart isn't letting you out of there by mispricing their products $100 or 10 cents less than they intended to charge, but they'll charge you $100 or 10 cents more. Now, if they're getting a dollar from each one and there's 1,000 people a day, that's $1,000 a day. Hey, kids, they're open 7 days a week. $1,000 a day times 365 days is 365,000. Walmart children have approximately 4,000 stores. Isn't that what I heard the other day? 4,000 stores or 40,000 or something like that? Okay. Let's take $365,000 and let's multiply that times 40,000. And my famous Texas Instrument Sharp EL1197G calculator goes 0E, error, can't compute, can't compute. Which means that, my God, that's more than $1 billion. Now let's try it this way. It's 365 times 40,000. Now that's 14,600,000. So let me write 14,600,000. Okay. And then let me write three more zeros on there. And children, that's 14 billion. $600 million a year that Walmart steals from their customers worldwide. As old Everett Dirksen once said, you know, you take $1 billion here and $1 billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. Now, that's what I'm reporting on, because that's what I've observed with my own wife. I don't observe the rest of you people. I don't run up and check out the tickets from other people. I'm just telling you, why don't you do that? Go into the Walmart store and just do your shopping. And then run down the list. As you're making your shopping trip through the Walmart store, just jot down the price per pound or the price of the product as you're going through the store. They got another technique over there. They don't price it at all. There's no price. There's no price on the can, and there's no price on the shelf. When you put it in your basket, it's like a blank check. You just sign it, and we'll fill in the amount later. That's what that means. Okay, now, and leaving that one aside, you know, most of the items are priced. Then take it home and get your famous EL Sharp 1197G Mark III Texas Instrument calculator out and run down your list. And I can almost guarantee you, you're going to be dinged something. 10 cents, a dollar, 2 bucks, 3 bucks, you know, something. Now on the big purchases, when you go in and you buy a pair of shoes and it's $29.95, you know, that's probably the correct price. I mean, they don't do this on everything. No, it's just selected items. Generally, it's the sale items that we've noticed. Sale items, things that they're promoting. And then their excuse is, oh my God, we put it on sale, but it didn't get caught up with the computer yet. No, we're just terribly sorry. So watch those sale items. That's a part and parcel with marketing and merchandising. That's advertising. And here's where advertising comes in. Advertising isn't just a classified ad that says apartment for rent. Advertising is the price that we put on the product on the shelf. It's when we mark the can 59 cents. That's advertising. We are advertising to you that this can of pork and beans is 59 cents. Because if the general price of pork and beans is 69, 79, or 89 cents, you bought it because of the price on the can. Campbell's pork and beans. 59 cents a can. My God, that's cheap. Last week they were 69, 79, or 89. I'm going to buy 6 cans because they're only 59 cents this week. That's advertising. It's the way we sell product. And that's why these prices are constantly changing. Because, you see, you people cannot remember what these prices are last week, the week before, and so on. I mean, you're going to go into the grocery store and buy 50 items. And you can't remember the prices on 50 items from this week to next week, but you can rest assured that Walmart will change the price. And it isn't just Walmart, kids. I mean, it's all the grocery stores and all the stores. We're changing these prices constantly. And some of it's inflation, and some of it's added on, and some of it's this or that or something else. But keep in mind that this is a part and parcel with advertising. It's a part and parcel with marketing. It's a part and parcel with merchandising. And stealing from you customers out there, it isn't the shoplifter over here that's causing Walmart all of their trouble. Walmart steals more than the shoplifters can steal. Rest assured. Walmart can steal more from you than the shoplifters. And, by the way, we know how much the shoplifters are stealing because we have an accurate inventory and we know what goes through the cash register. And all we do is match those two up, and we say, oh, our losses are running 3%, 4%, 5%, you know. We know what our losses are. And some of it's due to shoplifting, and some of it's due to employee theft, and some of it's due to spoilage on the shelf, and some of it's due to shrinkage. And I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why we have these shortages. When we have these shortages, you know, we're marketers, we're business people, we're adults, you know, we know what the hell's going on. And of course, these businesses are stealing on their taxes, they're stealing on the sales tax, they're stealing on the withholding taxes, they're stealing in 15 different ways, but primarily they're stealing from their customers. And that's just one more. So, Breakfast of Champions. Okay, that's a theft. It's a psychological war. And then there's the pure sous-vide honey. God, I hate to pick on you sous-vide people over there, but you know, you guys brought it on yourselves. You're the ones that went in and got the legislature to create the law that you needed so that you could put corn syrup into your honey. So that you could market this sous-vide honey with corn syrup. So that you could steal from your customers. And that's just another part of marketing and merchandising. And hey, listen, they don't even have to lie to you. Because as a matter of law, when it says pure, P-U-R-E, pure sous-vide honey, it's a copyrighted trade name. It is pure sous-vide honey. Nobody's lying to you. The deception is, you thought that this honey contained 100% bee vomit. Which, by the way, that's what honey is. It's bee vomit. The bee takes this into his stomach and then he regurgitates it. Bee puke is what you're eating with honey. Not that that's necessarily bad. God designed it that way and created it that way. It's probably pretty nutritious stuff, but sometimes when you know what it is you're eating, you might take a little pause to that, you know. Now keep in mind here that they're not lying to you when they say this is pure sous-vide honey, but they are deceiving you in the process because they can have as much as 49%. It could be 25% or 10% or 15% corn syrup. And they can still market it and call it pure. I call that adulteration. That's what God calls it. He calls that adultery. That's adulteration. That's a lie. That's a deception. That's a theft. But we do it in such a way that it appears to be honest. And then if there's a mistake and you call them on it, they say, oh, we're terribly sorry. It's the computer that did that. Oh, I'm terribly sorry I made that mistake. All right, so next time you're in Walmart, give them a test and try it out. I think you're going to find out that, like my wife, they're dinging you. And they're dinging every customer that goes through the checkout counter. And they do it in such a way that you love it. It's kind of like Franklin D. Roosevelt, you know. He used to lie to us constantly, but we loved every word of it. He was such a wonderful liar. We loved it. Hey, I've got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school or the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.